Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Esther. Esther. Everybody know where Esther is? It's if you can find Psalms, that's real easy. Middle of the book. Go back Job. Then before Job is Esther. Esther 4. Now, while you're turning there, I want to give you a little background. This is part 3 of a 3-part series entitled The Supernatural Benefits of Fasting. Supernatural Benefits of Fasting. Some of y'all thought, oh, maybe he'll preach on feasting today. You know, I ever noticed how close feasting is to fasting? Just the letter E. Well, we're taking the E out of feasting today. Fasting. Our last couple of weeks, I've talked about the supernatural benefits. These are what I've covered. Fasting, in each, again, this is in part 1 and part 2, provides clear direction of the Holy Ghost, helps you discern a person's character, enables you to hear God's voice quickly and distinctly, puts teeth into your repentance, delivers you from the snares and traps of the enemy, and can avert God's judgment in your life. And there in a man, we talk about Ahab, worst king there ever was, terrible judgment, but because he fasted and prayed, he averted it. So today we want to talk about 3 more supernatural benefits of fasting. I'm trying to persuade us that there is a benefit to self-denial in the area of fasting. It's interesting. I've done teaching and radio shows, TV shows, booklet on fasting. And today I was reading in the 1-year Bible and I stumbled over a passage in Nehemiah about fasting I just had never seen. I thought I'd seen them all. And it, there in fact, that was today's reading in the, let's see if I don't know where it was, but I think it was Nehemiah 9. But he said, where's Nehemiah 8? Well, Nehemiah 10. Anyway, somewhere in there, Nehemiah. But it says, all the people came together and they were fasting before the Lord and seeking him. And you know, really the pattern in the scripture, folks, to seek God is with prayer and fasting. So much so that Jesus just assumed when he said, in Matthew, he says, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, you know, who blow a trumpet. In other words, it wasn't if, it was when. Understand, this is the way one seeks God. Acts 13, when the church came together in Antioch, they fasted and prayed. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. And the fasting was a normal, operative part of the kingdom. Jesus Christ, even when they came to him, the John the Baptist disciples said, why do your disciples not, the Pharisees said, why do your disciples not fast when John the Baptist, he says, look, you don't fast when the bridegroom's going to the wedding, but when I am gone, they will fast. In other words, it will be a pattern of the New Testament. And it is ironically, it is a large chunk of Christianity left out of American Christianity. You don't see a big giant conferences on fasting. I mean, you don't hear it preached much. And I've noticed back when I did a radio show on KSPJ years ago, late 80s, early 90s, had a Sunday evening, 8:15, Water to Wine, 15-minute show. It was a fun little show. I did 300 of those, no, I think 150 shows before they canned me and put suicidal music on. They call it anti-suicidal music. This acid rock and roll Christian stuff that supposedly rescued. Anyway, I got booped. They didn't want to have the preaching of the word anymore at that slot. But for 150 shows, I was able to be on the radio late at night. And one of them I did was on fasting. And I'll never forget the response to that show. It was enormous. Then later I did a television show on the Houston cable network in the early 90s, and then I did another one in the late 90s. Also, I did one on KLTJ. Whenever I did TV shows on fasting, I mean, the board would light up. It was there is such a hunger for understanding on fasting. On the online, we offer a lot of teaching on that on the web, and people just really gravitate to it because there's a lot of hunger. People instinctively know that I've got to do something to seek the Lord. Just praying isn't quite enough. It takes praying and fasting. Amen? Amen? Particularly if we want to petition heaven to acquire the things we need. And the pattern in the scriptures, when you need something from God, you go with prayer and fasting, and he will hear from heaven. He says, if my people call by name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Look, it's included in that notion of humbling yourselves. Joel talks about afflict your souls, rend your heart, not your garment, with prayer and fasting. That was the humbling, the chastening of the soul. It pleases God. And fasting literally is like, God, whoa, 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 somebody down there is serious. Whoa, somebody's actually not eating food. What do they want? Listen, he cocked his ear in our direction. Well, today we want to look at three other, Esther 4:16. Esther was taken under King Ahasuerus into his royal house in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight, more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. So Esther was the new queen. Now, what's going on in the background? Am I in the right chapter? Folks, I apologize. 4:16. So y'all just sitting there. Why did somebody say, hello? I was in 2:16. Let's go back. 4:16. I was just checking to see if you're awake. Huh? Y'all weren't reading with me, were you? Gotcha. All right. 4:16. You ready? Okay, the background of 4:16 was this mean guy, Haman. He was kind of the first Hitler. He wanted to wipe out all the Jews. This is what Esther's about. This Hitler guy wanted to wipe out the Jews, okay? And her uncle, or was it her cousin, Mordecai, wanted to intervene, and Esther was in a position where she could intervene and keep Hitler from wiping out the Jews, as it were. I guess kind of a biblical Schindler, you know? So in Esther 4:16, so go, Esther said, when she was challenged to go before the king and make petition to not have the Jews killed, there was a law that if you ever came into the king unbidden, you would be killed. Okay, this king, he liked his privacy. So if you ever came into the king unbidden, I mean, you're dead. Well, Esther had not been invited to go in on to the king for a month, but she needed to go in. So she said, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me. Fast for me. Don't eat or drink 3 days, night and day. I and my maidens will fast likewise. And so I will go into the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded. Chapter 5, now it came to pass on the third day after 3 day fasting that Esther put on her royal apparel, stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor. And he lowered his golden scepter. So it turned out, by fasting 3 days and three nights, it opened the heart of the king for her to go in unbidden and salvage her life. In fact, look at another passage in Nehemiah 1. Just go back two books. No, one book, right? Yeah, one back, one book. Nehemiah 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah had heard that Jerusalem was burned with fire and great with reproach and affliction, and the city was broken down, and he was grieved about this situation, and he was in battling, and he wanted to do something about it. Nehemiah 1:4, it came to pass, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and what? And fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So Nehemiah knew there was a serious need. He went to the Lord with fasting and prayer, and he prayed this long prayer here. And look at chapter 2, verse 6. And the king said to me, the queen sitting by him, how long shall the journey be? When will you return, sir? Please the king to send me. In other words, by fasting and praying, he got what he desired. He was granted favor from the king. You ready, Rick? Go ahead and put that first. So this is the first benefit of today. A supernatural benefit of prayer and fasting is... Ta-da. Well, our sound guy, it's already open. There it is. At the top one. The top one. Now you got to hit. No. Go back. I need to just click anywhere. Okay, now. Now hit the top one. Okay, now do play. There it is. Ta-da! Let's give him a hand. All right. Releases favor toward you from others. Releases favor toward you from others. Esther was found favor. Nehemiah found favor both with authorities by fasting. Now that's a significant thing. How many would like favor toward you from your boss? Need to have some resurrection prayers this morning? You guys are lying. How many of y'all need favor from your boss? You know, it's often temptation to seek men's favors by seeking men's favors, kind of, let's just say, compromising or seeking men for favor rather than seeking God for the favor of men. Does that make sense? When you seek men's favors, how many of y'all know that it worked? It's always kind of like the teacher's pet. Always kind of the person that always would kind of, you know, sidle up to the boss to the chagrin or negligence of the others. You know, what they may get in the favor of the authority, they get in the rejection of their peers. Fasting, literally, let me tell you something about fasting. It shines a light on you from God and exposes the true motive of your heart. Fasting opens up spiritual favor. There's two verses. Psalm 75 says, promotion comes neither from the east, the west, or the south, but God puts down one and sets up another. And Proverbs 29:26 said, most men seek every man's favor, but every judgment comes from the Lord. I found the way to seek favor from men is seek the Lord. If you're waiting, if you feel like you're either your parent or if your wife, your husband, your spiritual authority, or your parents or your boss or your employer, whatever, there's something wrong or disgruntled or against you, there's something is misunderstood, you know what? Go to the Lord in fasting and prayer. Petition the face of the Lord. Lord, I need favor. You know what it is? You go into the higher court. You know, in our country, and really this is unfortunate because it wasn't the plan of the founders of our country. The founders of our country who wrote the Constitution never intended the bottom line to be the Supreme Court. Did you know that? They never intended that. The intention was the bottom line would be the House of Representatives. But what's evolved in our country is the bottom line of the Supreme Court. In the final analysis, what the Supreme Court says was what? That's the way it is, and nothing can change it. Even the president bows to this. It's very sad. Recently, the Supreme Court ruled something against property, private property. I mean, it's Alexander Hamilton and Thomas Jefferson would be turning over their graves had they heard what the Supreme Court did, that the government has a right to take your home now if they can use it for betterment and buy a shopping center to make more tax revenue. That is horrible. It recently happened. And Americans have not... You know, Americans ought to rise up and storm into Russia with Washington with pitchforks. But they didn't. Our country's asleep and on drugs. They're just clueless what's going on. But you know, when there is, it's unfortunate, but the way it is in our country, if you go to the courts and some district court or state court or federal court rules against you, whatever situation, there is something called an appeal. Amen? You can appeal. You can go to what? The higher court. And the higher court will overrule the judgment of the lower court. Now, that's very unfortunate in some situations, like abortion. Abortion was a made-up notion, Roe versus Wade, 1972, by the Supreme Court, and overruled every state's understanding of the Supreme Court, of that abortion ruling. But there are some instances where it's good, where, you know, a judicial dictatorship can be favorable sometimes, where the Supreme Court overrules something. But the principle is you can go to a higher court and appeal, and they will annul the lower court's rendering. You know, the same principle works in the kingdom. If you have an authority in your life, any authority, and you feel like there's injustice, there's misunderstanding, there's unrighteousness coming down from your authority, folks, rather than rebelling against your authority, that never works. Ever. It's you go to a higher authority. You just appeal to God. You go, fine, whatever. Yielding pacifies great offenses, Solomon said. So you go to the higher authority. Why? Fasting and prayer. You say, God, I refuse to rebel because rebellion is as witchcraft. I will not move in witchcraft. I will appeal to you with fasting and prayer. You watch God begin to move with the authority. I'm telling you, it happens. Most people don't understand that, but I tell you, it pleases the Lord. And in the, amen? So fasting can release favor towards you from others. In chastening your soul, God will open doors otherwise shut. Now here's another one. We're going to look at three this morning. Daniel 10. Y'all know where Daniel is? Jeremiah, Ezekiel. What's right after Ezekiel? Daniel. Daniel 10, verse 3. In those days, verse 2. Verse 2. Says, In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate, King James reads, no pleasant bread. Neither came flesh or wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 works were fulfilled. 3 weeks were fulfilled. So Daniel went on a very unique fast. And the phrase we use is a pleasant foods fast. Basically what he did is he denied himself pleasant foods. He ate food sufficient to go on. And in this type he says neither flesh nor wine didn't eat. So by fasting for 3 weeks, a pleasant foods fast, by denying the flesh and eating just what was necessary to function, God came with a great revelation. In fact, chapter 11 of Daniel, I got to tell you something. There is no other chapter in the Bible like chapter 11. It is the most incredible chapter in the whole Bible. In fact, many Bible scholars, liberal Bible scholars today, absolutely cannot believe that Daniel wrote it. Because it so nails what was to occur over the next 100 years. They said there's no way anybody could be so precise on this king married this daughter, they went here, they wiped this out. It goes on and on and on. John MacArthur, by the way, the teacher, I don't know if you all ever listened to him, has an excellent analysis of chapter 11. It is wonderful. I mean, because the history goes all the way from Daniel's time till the Antichrist, till the end of time. I mean, it goes into chapter 12 when Jesus comes back. I mean, literally, this is what Daniel got by fasting 3 weeks. God gave him revelation from that point on all the way to the second coming. In fact, all the way to the back end of the book, he even talks at the end of the millennial reign. No, I'm sorry, the end of the great tribulation. And so many days, and then so many days, and blessed are those that go to these days, and don't get to these days. It's mysteries. In fact, in the end, Daniel had a headache. He said, "Oh, I can't handle this." He said, "Don't worry, the words are sealed up to the end. Many will go to and fro, knowledge will be increased, but in the end it'll be revealed." You know when it was unrevealed? Jesus Christ said, out of his own mouth in Matthew 24, he says, when referring to this, I just got to throw this in. Jesus literally unlocked it. Because in Daniel 12, the angel said it's sealed up to the end days. Where Jesus said, "When you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of Daniel the prophet, whosoever reads, let him understand." Psalm 24:15. Literally, he unlocked it. So from Matthew 24:15, Jesus then said, "It is now, what was sealed is now open," in the New Testament, the revelation. So the point is, go ahead. The next thing is fasting reveals, releases prophetic revelation of things to come. He fasted and prayed, and God gave him this amazing prophetic insight all the way to the time of the end. Folks, fasting can release revelation and warnings from the Holy Ghost of things to come. Good and bad. Amen? God has been real good to us. And I think he's been merciful. We have in the last year and a half, we've had a regular intercession other than our Sunday intercession. We've been praying. Has it been a year and a half or 6 months? Yeah, 6 months. Well, the year before we were having on Monday nights, but we've been having significant prayer here every week, and God has been faithful to reveal things. And we had people averted from death. We had a couple of incidents where kids could have been killed, except we've been praying and seeking God, and God was giving visions and revelations and dreams. Amen? I mean, thank God for that. Amen? Not long ago, it just happened with me. There was 3 witnesses about a little boy, and God was good. He came. He saved his life. Little kid almost got killed up there, and God saved his life. An angel was up there and protected him. Praise God. And something else happened. You know what? I believe as we go in the direction God is leading us now in the future, how many of y'all believe the enemy is going to resist us? He doesn't want us to be balanced. He doesn't want us to be. You know why? People will come around hungry when you start seeing supernatural healing. I've noticed when you have a really understanding thing about casting out demons and deliverance, oh, they'll come around. People that are desperate and at the end of their rope and frustrated and... Amen? Yeah. But you know, you start seeing supernatural healings, God healing things that could not be healed any other way, and the word gets out. God, people begin to come around. And when they come around this place, they'll hear about deliverance. See? And you know, there's going to be some warfare, folks, like we hadn't seen. Isn't that exciting? Hello? You think we've seen warfare? I'll tell you, the demons even now are sharpening their knives. And ready to roar on us. And that's cool. That's all right. I like it. That's when it's fun. It's fun when it gets hot and heavy. Amen? You know, you don't get anything, but there's a little bit of resistance from the enemy. Praise God, I like the war. You never get bored with the warfare. But you know what? We're going to have to seek the Lord, not just with intercession, but with fasting and prayer. We're going to have to enter into a level of self-denial and petitioning heaven to protect us and keep the prophetic words flowing. So we know what the enemy's doing. That's all about spies. You send spies out, so you kind of know, you know, this is what they're, where they're going to come. And so we beat them at the punch. Well, we're going to need that. Amen? Y'all are real excited this morning, I can tell. I wrote here, we've been blessed with folks in this church who can see things in the spirit world. Seers. The Old Testament called them seers. New Testament calls it the gift of prophecy. It's a prophetic gift. I'm telling you, Jesus said in John 16, the Holy Ghost will show you things to come, and he shows you through the gifts. And that's a wonderful thing. Somebody's always coming up. Brother just came up here a minute ago. I had another. That was good. I thank you for that one. Finally. Had a positive one. Jeez. Somebody calls and says, all right, brother, Pastor Chris, I had a vision for you. Let me ask, snake, scorpion, which one was it? Huh? Oh, yeah, guillotine. I've had them all. Well, he gave me, he had a good one. Thank you, Jesus. He just had a little, was it a vision or a dream? And James is one of these guys. He's not a bluster guy. He's real. You don't get any more real than James. And he had a vision. This was a good one. He says, Chris, you were real little, and there was this big giant demon coming at me. Right? He said, but you pulled a sword out and you got him like David and Goliath. Amen? I like that one. Praise God. So sorry, guys, but I'm calling where I'm leading this church. We're going to have this big gorilla demon coming at us. Amen? Amen? Praise God. You know what? I think kids like a church like this. I grew up in a church that was all holy and really holy and plastic and hypocritical. They came out, Omnion, you, let's all rise. And we would say these words, you know, dead words. I didn't know what I was saying. I was lost as goose, going to hell. But I did my little religious thing. You know, I looked around. Everybody was kind of just, nobody was. And then a preacher would preach out of the Reader's Digest. I don't ever remember a Bible being in the, I'm not going to tell you religion it was, but they had priests and nuns. You know what? I wish I'd gone to church like this when I was a kid. Amen? I really do. Praise God. So kids, you got it good. We're kind of radical and real. All right. And we have fun here. Amen? I would like to see the day we see demons manifest up here just screaming and flapping around. That's good. That's how Jesus would have church. Look at Mark chapter 1. When Jesus shows up at church one day, what happened? Demons flip out, screaming, knocking over the candles. The ushers are running around. I mean, that's how Jesus had church. This is how he had church. You know, oh, you want to have a nice church? Don't bring Jesus in. Amen? When he comes in, demons scream out. And also people get healed. So that's the next thing, folks. Regular intercession is opening it up. Our regular fasting will increase. Prophetic revelation of things to come. I'm really grateful for that vision that our brother had. That the Lord confirmed in about three different ways. He confirmed it to me. Clearly, this is where you're going. And again, that was a macro thing from God. I don't get those very often, you know. Get the micros. But this was a big thing. He says, this is where you've been 20 years. This is where you go in the next 20. I said, cool. All right, because I've always wanted that, and I didn't know when it was going to shift. Praise God. So I'm excited. The Holy Ghost has spoken, and it's going to be rough waters ahead, but it's going to be fun on the other end. Amen? And God is increasingly saying, I'm looking for the day when I throw one of those challenges out to these people that are not saved and, you know, and have some mortal disease, they're going to die. And we say, well, if you get born again, we'll pray for you. And they'll get born again, and then we got to come up, you know, put your money where your mouth is, right? So we're going to have to fast and pray and beseech heaven for the anointing to see them healed. Amen? So I look forward to that. That's a good challenge. Last place, look, Luke 2:36. We're going to close. Again, we're doing supernatural benefits of fasting. And in conclusion of this three-part series, Luke 2:36. It's about a little woman. They took Jesus to be circumcised on the eighth day in the temple. And right while they were doing that, look, this little woman shows up. Her name was Anna. 36. There was one Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of somebody, of the tribe of Aser. And she was of a great age. That was a nice Bible way of saying she was an old lady. She had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of 84. That's 84 years old. Folks, that's old back then. Okay? That's old now, but that was really old back then. 84-year-old lady. Now, I want you to look at this. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with what? Fastings and prayers night and day. Now, there's something. Let me tell you something. The average life expectancy, even in America today, 2,000 years later, with all our medicines and all this stuff, still is not 84. They've kicked it well beyond 70. But this little woman, 2,000 years ago, with all the health problems, all the, look, all the malnutrition, all the lack of this and that, lived to be 84 years old. Look at another passage in Isaiah 58. Last place we're going to look. Isaiah 58, verse 6. This is a wonderful passage to conclude this series on. This is the famous fasting passage. Actually, Isaiah, the Lord through Isaiah was rebuking, because people back then understood fasting. They actually would use the fasting to get people. I mean, people understood fasting so much in the days of Isaiah that they don't actually fast, so they get a power on them to kind of get back at people and be vindictive. So that's why he says in verse 4, he rebuked them. Behold, you fast for strife and debate to smite with the fist of wickedness. The Lord was saying, you got get your motives right when you fast. But I wanted you to see he has a benefit of fasting in verse 6. Look, is not this the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, undo the heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry, and that you bring the poor that are cast out to you? Does that sound like what Jesus said that time, remember? In fact, it is. This is where he was quoting from. When you see the naked, you cover him, that you hide not yourself from your own flesh. Look at verse 8. Then shall your light break forth as the morning. I love this. And your health will spring forth speedily, and your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your reward. What he's saying is, it's not just fasting. Okay? It's fasting and prayer and doing the Lord's will. And the Lord's will is to love the poor, to minister, to get out of. But what he's saying also is fasting does something. It brings forth health. Health springs forth speedily. So go ahead. Last one. Here's the last benefit. Fasting helps you live a long and healthy life. Remember that little widow woman? How did she live to be 84? Fasting and prayers. It springs forth health in your life. Like I said before, medical doctors today will not recommend fasting. There is some tie-in between the medical profession and the pharmaceutical profession. I'm convinced of it. The other day I was in the doctor's office, okay? I had to go to the doctor, the clinic, for something. And in the doctor's office, they had a little TV thing that had a rolling screen. You know what it was? Pharmaceutical ads of drugs. And I was thinking, there's got to be a tie-in. I'm sitting in the doctor's office, okay? And it's just all these drugs. You know, that what they're not going to recommend is, you know, maybe the solution to your problem here physically is what you're eating. Let's talk about your diet intake. What are you eating? Maybe you need to eat less. Maybe let me put your... Can you imagine a doctor, instead of putting his little scribble on that little piece of paper, so he can send it to pharmacy, you know, and pay the exorbitant price for that drug? Wouldn't it be interesting if he wrote down and said, look, here, let me write down. I want you to go on a regular fast. I want you to fast a day or two a week and just, you know, eat these basic fruits and vegetables and skip this and this and come back in about a month after you really diet and fast like that. Guess what happened? You'd probably come back and probably be a whole lot healthier, and the disease will leave, and you didn't have to buy any drugs. Isn't it ironic that the solution to stuff in our culture is to put more stuff in your mouth? What does the Bible say? Now, there are legitimate medicines. Somebody gave me a book recently, I don't know who it was, Nutritional Health. really, yeah, the Browns, they're legit. And I really like that book they have. It's kind of, you know, there's some stuff in this kind of, but it's fundamentally, it's really good stuff. That there's a lot of health to be found in eating well, but also in fasting and denial. I mean, think about this. How many of y'all like the price of gas these days? I mean, since last Sunday, it's gone up 20 cents. I'm not kidding. It's scary. I mean, it was 2:30 the last time I filled it. I looked at it this morning, 2:54. My God. They're now setting up ATM loan branches of banks right there at the pump so that you can take out a home equity loan to fill up your tank. Well, you know what? If you will leave your car in the garage a day or two, did you know your car will last longer? Think about it. If you drive your car every day, but let's say I'm going to get alternative transportation, you know, ride with somebody. If you drove your car one day less a week, would not the car last longer? Work with me here. Say, yes, Pastor, it would last longer. I knew you would. If you left it in the garage 2 days a week, would not it last longer? Yes. You got to know your part. Did you know you can actually lengthen your lifespan by fasting? When you fast, you're giving your system a break. You really are. You know, when you constantly eat day and night, it's like your digestive system can't catch up with it all. It's good to just fast. There's something about fasting literally cleanses the body. It cleanses the body of poisons and toxins. One time I went on a long fast, and my tongue turned white and gross. I mean, it just, my breath smelled that, and my tongue was coated with this white, blech, and it was a long fast. And it was not a severe fast, it was a juice fast. But still, I had this, all this junk in my tongue, I would scrape it off. And it's just yuck. And then after about a few days later, it totally cleared up, my tongue was pink, and my breath, it was, you know what my body was doing? It was purging out toxins and poisons. This is God's way. It literally cleansed my body. It broke something in me. I used to get up every morning and have to have a cup of coffee to get up. I've never, when I get up in the morning, I have orange juice. I do drink a cup of coffee, usually about mid-morning. I get a cup, bring it up here, heat it in the microwave, and drink it about 9:30. I used to be addicted to that stuff first time, and I started drinking orange juice. That happened after that fast. There's something about our body wants, God's developed in us a way, if we would just quit stuffing stuff in and begin to give ourselves a break. Folks, our body, we can come into health. I've really heard of people starving tumors and cancers. Fasts can renew, cleanse. It's an eternal machine. Will run more efficiently. And here's the best thing about fasting, is you will default to healthier foods. In fact, a reason a lot of people put a lot of spices and stuff in their foods is because, you know, it's amazing if you fast how good a carrot stick tastes. I'm serious. I've been going on some pleasant foods fast lately of fruits and vegetables for a couple of days. It has been real. All of a sudden, I'm discovering the great taste of a tomato. Hey, if you hadn't eaten anything for a day or two, are you just having celery and grapes and, you know, and all day you're looking forward to that tomato for lunch? Oh, man. All of a sudden, you enjoy. Folks, the bottom line is there are so many benefits of fasting. I've gone through them over the last 3 weeks. And I'll tell you the key benefit of all, the biggest one of all. Fasting will draw you closer to the Lord. There's something about fasting, you get serious and it draws you closer to Jesus. It clears the spiritual air. It clears the fog. It breaks it. Look, there is not any major religion in the world. They all understand the notion of fasting. In the Muslim religion, they have something called, is it Ramadan? Well, they'll fast till sunset. Well, that's a nice fast. Shoot, sunset down, pig down, man. But even then, in the Hindu religions, in virtually every religion in the world, they understand the notion of self-denial. Now, they're all going to hell. If I was one of those religions, forget fasting. I'd pig out, might as well. Right? But there's a principle here of fasting that God wants us to understand. Lord, I pray that you would give us revelation, understanding, that this may be the very thing that's going to break us out of a stuck place in the spirit, promote us, open up things where we've been looking and crying out to you for months, years, asking, why are things jammed up, not happening? Lord, when we come to you with prayer and fasting, you're pleased to open up the heavens, to blow the wind of the Spirit, to grant revelation and visions and dreams, to bring us back to our first love, to bring our health speedily, Lord. Fasting brings energy. It's ironic. You actually get a greater energy when you fast. The sluggishness of digestive, always digesting, you actually are energized. Lord, help us to be wise people, to grasp it. And best of all, Lord, it releases the anointing of the gifts. So, Lord, we crave the power of the gifts. So we lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We cast out devils and they'll flee. Lord, we pray you'll open the heavens over our church and call us, Father, as a body to be disciples of Jesus, disciplined, wise in the Spirit. And break the curses, Lord, that no one in this church would die a premature death. Lord, out of some disease or sickness or gluttony or overeating, Father, that you'd break the patterns of overeating in our lives. And teach us, Lord, to be grateful for every meal you give us. To be thankful for the food that you bless us with, Lord. And not to move into the sin of gluttony. And everybody said, boy, that's a popular sermon, amen? Let's all stand. Got to sit, do a sermon. There's a Bible that says, you know, gluttony is not a disease. It's sin. And the brother, Bonnie Malky, out of California Deliverance, he wrote a book called The Acceptable Sin in the Church. Calls it The Acceptable Sin. It's gluttony. You know, but I'm telling you, it's just as much a sin. Jesus. Come on up, Dave. Jesus. Let's sing a song. Lord, I just pray. I want you to make a decision right now. It's good to end with making a decision. I want you right now, in the name of Jesus, I challenge you to say, yes, Lord, whatever the Holy Ghost has been talking to you about today. Holy Ghost has been speaking to your heart, I'm sure. Now, I want you to respond. Say, yes, Lord, forgive me. I let go my rights. I let go control. I let go fear. Lord, I long for something fresh and new from heaven. A fresh wind to blow in my life, in my spirit, even as you're doing in this church, Lord. Lord, it's only going to be in this church to the degree it is in each of our lives. Well, we want to pick up the cross and deny ourselves and find the narrow road that leads to life. And Lord, experience eternal life in this life and the glory and the abundant life you've promised us. Lord, we long for the day, the hurting and needy and demonized and infirm and sick will come to this place and experience healing and deliverance. Jesus. Just make up your mind to obey the Lord, folks. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.